Welcome back, everyone, to the Reflex Blue Show. I am your host, Donovan Beery. With me is Mary Allen, up-and-coming designer here in Omaha, Nebraska. Mary, how you doing?
I'm doing really good. Thanks for having me, Donovan.
Of course. And this is our season 11, I guess? Something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. And there's big news. The print world is, like, dead. Print is not in print.
Yeah, that's sad.
You hadn't even heard.
No. You broke the news to me right now.
Yeah, not only is print not in print, but how is not in print?
Oh.
From what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Now the print, they kind of hit it. They had letters to the editor saying it's no longer being done. And if you look up, they're still doing their award show, but it's going to be a hardcover book of some sort. And I believe both publications will continue online.
Mm.
Yeah. And you were saying you had to, you know of the magazines.
Yeah, I know about them through Metro because we had to do little article summaries. So we would have to go check out the print magazine from the library. And it was like a really cool introduction to print and those magazines. So,
And I've been teaching there again this year. And so I've had to tell students. And in the syllabus, it's actually set up to where you have to find an actual printed publication to do an article review on.
Yeah, so what are you going to do now?
I don't know.
There's been wiggle room. Like, they kind of let you choose online articles from my experience, but...
Well, I think the idea behind it is that it's easy to find information online.
Yeah.
But it's to let students know that there's other things out there.
Yeah.
And that they could, you know, you may have to hunt them down, but it could be worthwhile.
For sure.
So the assignment set up like that to force kids to look at other things other than just Google.
Yeah.
For information.
Yeah.
And I think there's value in that.
For sure. When you're looking at like paper and stuff.
Now, if there's no longer anything other than Google, there may not be value in it.
Yeah.
But I guess Communication Arts is still around as far as I still have a subscription. They haven't told me anything.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I don't even remember getting anything in the mail saying my subscriptions were not appearing anymore. I just found out online.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you'll be the first to know if they go out of print.
Yeah, maybe. but I think students were allowed to do other, like I had a few students that found art publications I didn't know exist.
That's cool.
Because there are other magazines other than design magazines that do mention design things.
Right. It was harder, like, for my portfolio class to find a portfolio-themed article in a print magazine. So I think it kind of depended on the topic if they were more lenient about letting you choose an online article.
Oh, they made you find a portfolio.
Yeah, right. It all had to be, like, related to the topic at school that you're studying.
Well, the class I was teaching was just concept development, so it's literally anything.
Yeah, not as hard.
Yeah, it's find any. I mean, you could probably open up Time Magazine and find something.
Right. I love concept development.
Yeah, that was a good class.
I know. I was jealous. Evan took it with you. She's awesome. You guys would be a winning team.
Yeah, I mean, I've had the fortune of there of having some really great students.
Yeah.
Which always makes a class go better.
Yeah.
Always makes a class go better.
Yeah. Did you have a big class?
That class is maxed out at like 10.
Okay.
Like, I don't even think, so I don't think it's possible to have a big class.
I know. We had like 3 students in my concept development class, which was amazing. Like, that was such an amazing experience. I will love those women forever.
Is it because there was more of a bond, or is it because you got done so fast you were out of there within like half an hour?
A bond.
Okay.
Yeah, and we like do those journals where you like hand make a book, then you have to do like 3 spreads, I think, per class is what we had to do. And you get like a list of topics and a list of media, but then you can combine them in any way that you want to. And I, of course, like I go for the personal always, so like all of my entries in my journal were super personal, and you're just presenting them to this room of like 3 other women, and so it was just like a really great bonding experience.
It's weird because when you have a class like concept development, it's set up to where nothing that was in that class is something that, you know, will probably end up in your portfolio because nothing's necessarily a finished
piece.
That
is not true.
Well, I'm just hear me
for out. Me. Yes.
Okay, but most of the stuff in there wasn't like finished work. It
yeah.
wasn't client stuff. But as far as what the projects were, probably relate more to what you do in the real world, which is create a project.
Yeah. And I love, like, the journal, going back to that. Like, that was such a great experience for me. I actually took my journal when we did our portfolio class, because you're supposed to bring, like, all of your work and look it all over and decide what you want to develop into a piece for your portfolio. And there was just, like, one spread in my journal that I was really proud of. And so I ended up developing that into a piece for my portfolio, like, from scratch during that class, which was, like, such a cool experience. And it was a really personal piece. So that was, like, the showstopper, I would say, of my portfolio.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. And you just graduated.
Yeah, this fall.
This fall.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. And congratulations on already having a job.
I know. I got my job before I graduated.
Yeah, this still happens. I want to tell people out there, it's still possible. It's still something that happens every now and then.
Yeah, you have to work for it, I would say, though.
Yeah. Did you have to work for it?
Yeah, I mean, I have a really great mentor, Luann Maddies, and so she just told me all the right things to do, like get involved in AIGA Nebraska, and she told me go to Donovan's and do a job shadow, and go to Heidi Mihalik and talk to her, have her show you around the office. So, like, I pushed myself out of my comfort zone to do all of these things that she recommended that I do. Like, I didn't turn down any of her advice, and that was by far, I would say, what helped me, just having that attitude.
Yeah, and the one thing that has with all of her advice is get involved in design and talk to people outside your bubble.
Totally.
And so that's probably still the best advice.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great advice. She did not lead me astray.
All right, well, that's good to hear. Yeah. We'll be right back in just a second. So what got you into design?
Okay, well, I have always loved, like, drawing and art and things like that. But now when I'm looking back, like, the thing that I really love about design is something that started when I was younger. And I love big projects and just dreaming something up and then making it happen. So it kind of reminds me of this time when I was younger, when I was like 16, and I met my first boyfriend in a chat room. And he lived in Ohio, and he had just, like, all these weird friends that he would tell me about. And one of them was this chubby kid who, I remember him saying, he jumped up onto the hood of a car and ended up falling off and breaking his arm.
This does not sound like a safe thing.
No, it wasn't safe at all, and I thought it was hilarious because I would never do anything like that as a kid. So my friend and I decided to make a movie out of it, and we got my little sister and one of her friends, and we went to a parking lot in my car, and we jumped up on the hood of the car and
just
taped it.
Don't worry, we're just going to have someone break their arm.
Didn't tell my parents at all.
Okay,
you know,
probably good.
Who needs to tell your parents about anything like that?
Yeah, we're going to break my sister's arm.
Yeah, exactly. So we ended up taping this movie about my boyfriend's friend getting hit by a car, which is really stupid, but, like, it was just so much fun, the project itself. And then when I was in school, that same friend and I got together and did, like, a little photo shoot for a book cover that I was doing. And anyway, it just reminds me of something cool that I did at Hay Needle recently, which was just kind of, like, went rogue with another one of the designers, Phil Thomas. And we had an idea for how we wanted to shoot photos at Hay Needle. And so we decided we're just going to do our own photo shoot. So we wanted to do a mid-century themed shoot. And my dad has a mid-century themed basement. So we went and I took a bunch of mid-century furniture down there. And we got my niece involved and another designer, Mike Mort. And they modeled for us. And we did
a photo
shoot.
Now, it should probably help to say that Hay Needle sells, like, a lot of furniture.
Right, yeah.
That is their main thing that they sell.
An online furniture store, yes. Yeah. So we decided to just shoot some furniture and some people and make our own little photo shoot. And it was really an awesome experience. And even if it didn't turn out great, I had so much fun. But it turned out so great.
Yeah. And you have to do things that keep you entertained.
Yes.
And you have to do things, you have to try things. It's great that it worked out, but it doesn't matter that it did.
No, it is all about the process. Like, now looking back at school, I created some really crappy stuff, but I was, like, having so much...
Oh, that'll never stop.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, you know, I will create crappy stuff until I die.
I'm doing it right now. Yeah. Just kidding, Donovan.
Yeah. I won't show that work always, but, you know,
yeah,
there's always going to be things that don't do as well as they should.
Yeah, and if you're inspired, like, it goes back to my journal in school, but, like, the crappy little entries that I did in my journal, like, I went back and was inspired by them, and I made something bigger and better, so. Okay. Just keep building on it.
Now, did your dad come down during the photo shoot and was like, sweet, I got all new furniture?
Okay, well, there's a funny story because my dad has a piano in his basement and I needed to move it so we could shoot in front of the wood paneling behind it.
Okay.
So like before everyone got there, I decided to move the piano by myself, but it got caught on the carpet and ended up tipping over backwards. It was a really soft fall because I was holding it the whole time, but I did kind of break his piano, I guess.
Okay.
It was a really old piano though, so he wasn't too mad at me.
It needed to be broken.
It needed to be broken, yeah. He's tried to give it to me in the past.
So it's one of those pianos that he would give away if someone moved it.
Exactly. It's stuck in his basement, yes.
Okay, so maybe you should have done less of a soft landing, more of a broken it into pieces that could have been hauled away.
Yeah. I'll go back with a sledgehammer.
You know, you said you used to draw and you used to work on these things and you know, you made like old videos and stuff.
Yeah.
But you actually went back to school a little later
in life. Totally.
Not like crazy later.
Yeah.
But you know, you had a number of years in between.
You're sweet because it is kind of crazy later and it was kind of scary. Like I must have been 32 when I decided to go back to school.
But no, I mean that. But when I mean crazy later, and crazy is all relative. I mean, where you graduate and you only have like 5 years left in a profession.
Yeah.
Like you have like a full profession of time left in front of you.
Yeah, I like to think so. I was really involved. I love public schools. And so I was really involved in my children's PTO. And I was PTO president for 2 years. And as one of my duties, I maintained the Facebook page for the school or for the PTO. And so I just started to realize that I would make all these funny little graphics for the page and I would spend a bunch of time doing it just on this stupid online program called PicMonkey.
I don't even know what that is.
No, it was really crappy.
Okay.
And so...
But it was the tool that was available.
Yeah, that's what I found. In fact, I think one of the women that I worked with on the PTO who did a lot of the posters and stuff, I was like, what do you use for those? And I think she was like Illustrator, but at the time I didn't know what she was talking about. And I was like, you should really try PicMonkey. It's awesome. So yeah, I would make all these graphics and finally I realized I just love to do this, so I should just take a class and make better graphics. And then once I took a class, it was all over. Like I was just like, I love this. This is what I want to do. And I just went at it.
And no regrets so far?
None. No. Like this is my calling. I love it.
And yeah, you're now fully involved. You're actually on the AIGA board.
I'm now the vice president of AIGA Nebraska.
Okay.
Yeah, I was director of communication, but now I've stepped it up to vice president.
Is that a step up? I don't even know what the
I'm calling it a step up.
Okay.
Yeah, it depends on your perspective.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been off the board for a decade. I don't remember these things.
I was just looking through some stuff on Drive recently, and I saw your name as director of communication on some documents.
That was a long time ago. Yeah. That was literally a decade ago.
Old documents.
Yeah, that was as far as I stepped up to.
Yeah.
So, but it's all good. So, we'll be back with one last segment with Mary Allen. So Mary, what are the big trends coming up in 2018? Like you're in the know now. You're younger. You're hanging out with the AIGA crowd.
Oh my God. Big trends.
Big design trends.
Big design trends.
Putting you on the spot.
Yeah, you really are.
Is email the next thing to go? Is it gone?
Oh no. Email's going nowhere, Donovan. You're silly.
I thought Slack had already taken it over or something.
Yeah, no, I don't think email's going anywhere. I don't know. I guess I need to stay more on trend. I don't need to think about trends because I am trends. I am a trendsetter, so
just whatever you're working on is
it's the new trend.
Will become the trend.
Yeah. GIFs. GIFs are the new trend.
They're back.
Yeah.
They have made a giant resurgence. I thought they were kind of going away because everyone was pushing like video.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it's like I don't know if it's because Facebook all of a sudden allows animated GIFs or what, but all of a sudden it's like, oh, embedded video are not cool anymore. It's back to animated GIFs.
Yeah, that's what I'm all about at Hay Needle.
Yeah, we'll see how long we can ride this wave.
Okay.
JPEG still no animation, no fun. Right? They don't. You can't make it blink. It's no good.
Right.
We're going to bring back the HTML blink tag. I haven't seen that used forever.
What?
Oh, yeah, there is a web tag. I don't know if it even works anymore. You would just type blink around a thing, and it would just blink.
Huh.
That's old school code.
Yeah, I could handle that.
I'm pretty sure it's not HTML5 compliant.
Yeah. I'm using Dreamweaver for the AIGA newsletter to code that.
Oh, I don't... some people get really feisty when you mention things like
that. I know. Well, I can't help it because that's what I was taught in web design. So I'm just not advanced enough to... I need to... I've heard, like, Sublime is awesome. I need to just try something else.
I never had a problem using Dreamweaver. But mainly because I use the code view. Mm-hmm. And the code view, it's just like any other text editor.
Yeah.
Wasn't an issue. But people, I think, when they say Dreamweaver, they just assume that you are in the non-code view and you never even click to the code view. Right. That's why people get... I assume that's why people get upset about it.
Yeah.
But I don't know what happened, but on both of the computers in the office, some upgrade or another, Dreamweaver just doesn't open.
Yeah.
So we switched off of it because it was just like, it just wouldn't open.
Just couldn't use it.
But I used it because the code view worked well, and the FTP client on it that was built into it, I found was extremely reliable.
Nice.
Which were the only two things I cared about. I could code and do whatever. And I would use the non-code view to make text changes because it was so easy.
Yeah.
So easy to find the text.
Exactly.
But I haven't used it in a couple of years because I don't know what happened to the Adobe Creative Cloud, but mm-hmm. that's the one program where update didn't open.
Weird.
Yeah, so if anyone can chime in, I'm fine without using it.
Yeah. Bye, Dreamweaver.
Yeah, but the nice thing is that if you have the cloud, it's free.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and I guess now there are some, is there an Illustrator alternative out there that's not Adobe?
Yes.
There are
people. I think so. I think Josh Collinsworth is always advocating for something. I forget what it is.
Yeah, I think I've been seeing, and I knew this was coming, but like, I think if you could now design this year, maybe even the last year, with a full suite of programs not using anything Adobe, I think it would be possible.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's people using it. If
Oh, yeah.
So I'm still on the Adobe bandwagon, but uh-huh. we'll see.
Yeah. I'm riding that bandwagon for now.
Well, you're at a corporate place that probably tells you to use that.
Okay. Yeah, that makes me seem like a real bitch, Donovan.
No, I mean if your company says this is what everyone else here totally. Is using, you're in we're paying for it, you'd be like, "Oh, I suppose."
Yeah. Yeah.
They have you on Macs though, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, back when I started, back in the old days, a lot of corporate places had people on PCs,
mm-hmm.
and they might still, but it was I the place I went to first, they fought to get Macs for just the designers. So I actually sat three blocks away from my team, the people I worked with, so I could be on in the one area of the company that at the time allowed Macintosh.
Allowed it, yeah. We have Macintosh for the designers, and I wouldn't have it any other way. But it's funny because there is like that. Everyone's always like, oh, you're on a Mac, you can't do this or that, and sharing files and things like that, but we make it work.
Yeah, I think, actually that place, I had a PC, I forget, so I could run Lotus Notes, which was their email program.
Yeah.
Which I still, I think, have nightmares about when I wake up.
Yeah.
Lotus Notes is no good. By the way, when you design emails, don't ever look at what they look like on Lotus Notes. You will drive yourself mad.
Okay, now I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah, and then you'll be like, I hate this.
Yeah.
And then you'll have to look up if anyone even uses that program anymore. Okay. But I'm sure programs in corporations die slow, so I'm sure somebody's out there with it.
I know. We're using HipChat to communicate with each other at work, which I'm just like, can we just use Slack? It's really similar to Slack, but it's like obviously way crappier.
HipChat. Never heard of it.
Yeah. You're lucky.
Yeah, well, I mean, I run a small studio, so we don't even use Slack.
Yeah, it seems silly because we're all, like, right in the same area, so it's ridiculous the amount that we message each other when we could just totally turn to each other and talk. I'm a big proponent for just, like, talking to people, but maybe that's because I enjoy interruptions in my work. Like, I kind of welcome them, so I don't mind if someone just walks up to my desk and actually says real words to me out of their mouth.
But you have to look at it from your perspective and the benefit to you, which is also that if you can't go into work someday and you're like, hey, I'm going to work remote, then it's still possible.
Yeah, that's true.
You can still be in the room. So, I mean, it is setting it up so that you can work from home.
Yeah.
If that's important.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, working from home, no, it's not very important to me. I work close by to my home, and I love being around people. Like, I really love people. I know that's not a popular opinion, but I do, so.
How is that not popular?
Everyone hates each other, right? Are you on Twitter?
You know, I'm on it. And you know, you can follow us at 36 Point or right. My company at 1119.
I do.
But I post very little.
Yeah.
I post like once a week, or if I'm at a conference, I'll post like daily.
I just feel like there is a negative feeling toward the human race at this point, but I don't share that.
It is more fun to be a jerk in 140 or 280 characters.
It's true. It's easier.
Yeah.
You don't have to look someone in the eye.
Yeah, and Twitter is part of the beauty of it, is it's really like you just go in there, you can follow, and you know, there are conversations I've seen on there, but a lot of use of it seems to be just you log in and you just yell into down a hallway and then just close the door behind you.
Yeah. Totally.
And then check back 3 days and be like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah. I notice you don't post a lot. Like, we're friends on Facebook. I don't know that I've ever seen you post anything.
I'll post every week or something. I don't know. It varies.
Yeah.
But no, I don't post a lot.
Do you get post anxiety?
No. What is that?
I mean, I don't know if it's a real thing, but I get post anxiety. Like, I only post on Facebook because I want to be able to post AIGA stuff, promotions, but I don't want that to be my only content on my page. Think a lot about my content, my personal content. So I have to post other stuff, but I get post anxiety. Like, just anytime I post anything, no matter how benign, like, afterwards I'm just like, why did I say that? And I can just imagine all these trolls coming out and beating me with stones and
what it sounds like is, in about 3 months you won't be posting at all, or you'll be posting less than I do.
I go in waves. Like, I've left social media behind for long periods of time, and then but I always come back to it.
Yeah, I mean, I like it because you can keep up on what's going on, or you know, you can seem connected. A lot of times you can use inspiration because you go into your feed, you end up, if you follow a lot of designers, you see a lot of cool stuff.
Well, even, like, I love Instagram, and I don't follow a lot of designers. I follow some designers, but I just get inspiration from other people. Like, I follow Gucci on Instagram, and they've been doing really cool stuff where they, like, misspell their brand name. They spell it with a Y instead of an I at the end.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that for search engine optimization, or is that for
cred? I don't know why I forgot to ask them, but I wonder if it has something to do with, like, making it look like it's, like, imitation Gucci or something like that, but I just love...
Maybe you're not following the right Gucci.
Yeah, maybe not. I'm following this silly Gucci account with a Y.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but I've noticed, like, Marc Jacobs did it recently, too. Like, he was spelling his name with a K, and I love that, like, people who are just willing to break their brand. Like, I was telling you earlier, that's something that's a big challenge for me, is just, like, working within a brand and still feeling like I'm working for myself, but doing it within brand standards. So I think it's really cool when people, like, when a brand is a living, breathing thing and it changes and it's not, like, so stuck in, like, these are our typefaces and these are our colors. And
no, I love brand guidelines, and I think I've told people this before, because the minute you get them, if you're working on a project or a new client, you're like, oh, these are, like, things I don't have to argue about. Like,
yeah.
Like, you can, if you have a tight deadline and you have brand standards, you're like, sweet, everything's, like, set up, I can do something quickly. But then also, You are correct. You have to remember, there's a lot of loopholes in a brand guideline.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of loopholes, mm-hmm, if you know where to look.
Yeah.
And most of them allow you to do a lot of stuff with them.
Yeah.
But you have to try those things.
Yeah. I'm constantly just, like, poking holes in the brand and trying to get away with. But I think that's the position that I'm in. I'm not the creative director. I'm not protecting the brand. I am just a designer who's just trying to get away with as much crap as I can.
And that's not a bad attitude.
Yeah.
So. All right. Well, Mary, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Donovan.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll be back soon. Look forward to a great season 11 or at least one episode of it. So.
Yeah.
Find out more at 36point.com.
The Reflex Blue Show with Donovan Beery is hosted at 36point.com. Music by Dustlab. Find out more at myspace.com/dustlab.
Thank you.